Welcome to the Passporter Moms podcast.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for episode 103 of the Passporter Moms podcast, Disney and Beyond. I'm Jennifer Marks, Passporter author and Passporter Mom.
And I'm Sarah Varney, Passporter News Editor and Passporter Mom.
The Passporter Moms podcast is a weekly podcast for all travelers with or without kids. We serve up a healthy serving of tips and advice for vacations to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, and destinations in the U.S. and abroad. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
How are you doing in 2012?
I'm good so far, knock
on wood. Good year so far?
Well, it's been, yeah. Let's just say that I hope it gets better from here.
If,
yes, Ryan and Sean have both been sick. And I locked Ryan and I out of the house in the bitter cold this morning. But it's just such a boneheaded move, and it's so completely unlike me. But it's okay. It was easily fixed. We have neighbors that have a spare key. But I just thought, oh, really? Like, this is how we're going to start? Really?
Did you say that you locked Ryan out?
I locked both of us out, Ryan and
both of you. I'm like... I'm trying to figure that one out.
Just him by himself. No, I mean tempting at times, but no.
Wow. Sorry about that.
No, was one of those, you know, I was going to bring him to the school bus, and I think I was just so excited because, you know, he's been off for almost two weeks now.
Oh, school is back for you. It's not back for us. We have the whole long week off still.
Oh, gosh.
I know. It's still, you know, craziness around here, and in fact, and Allie was visiting, and she just left at the airport. So,
gosh.
I mean, it's like work's not back yet, and I really want work to be back.
You're not back in. You're
I'm
back
ready
in work
for work.
Yeah,
I'm ready for all that to be over now. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so I know, like, you know, Sean's been out of town recently, and he left again last night. And, you know, after him being off the entire week in between Christmas and New Year's, I was like, so what time you leaving? Think you should catch an earlier ferry, maybe? Do you think, you know? Like, terrible, but, you know.
But hey, yeah.
I'll miss him again in a day or so, I'm sure, but...
I'm sure you will.
For now, quite frankly, I was just glad to have the house back to myself again, you know.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Well, you don't even have it yet. I'm sure you're looking forward to it.
I don't, because here I am in the podcast.
Oh, my gosh. All
sometime
right.
Sometime next week, perhaps. I don't know. We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah,
they do. They all go back to school eventually, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, so far, though, it's been a good year. All 3 days of it.
All three whole days of it, yeah.
I know. Yeah.
I have to ask, though, was there special New Year's Eve cupcakes?
No, we did. Christmas cupcakes are enough for us. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
No,
he's been very distracted and, you know, traveling and everything, so no. But,
yeah.
But, I should announce, Alexander is going to host a Cupcake Wars here, and he's inviting his cousins, and he's brought to me all the stuff that we're going to do, and apparently, I don't know if anyone out there has ever seen the Cupcake Wars, it's on the Food Network.
Yes.
Alexander loves the show, so we're going to, like, have a thing, and we're all making cupcakes, and the winner gets to go to a restaurant or something like that.
Oh,
he actually tried to see if I would make the prize be a trip to Disney World, but I told him that wasn't quite appropriate.
Oh, that's classic, though, frankly.
He's very ambitious. Yes, Cupcake Wars.
God. That, I love that. Yeah, Ryan's a huge Food Network fan.
I know. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I think it's cool, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that, though. I love he's got a whole thing, and he's, you know, trying to work the system and get to Disney World.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God, which reminds me. Okay, so I have to tell this story because it's just on the heels of Alexander's, you know, trying to finagle a trip to Disney World. Ryan had to write a book for school. Mm-hmm. And being Ryan, of course, it's not a book. It's like an encyclopedia. And it's titled Autos and Other Vehicles, illustrated by Ryan Varney. I don't know why illustrated, because it's actually written. But anyway, so I think just because he likes the word illustrated.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, chapter one is cars, and chapter two is trucks, and chapter three is rescue vehicles, and chapter four, I think, is ships. And basically, and here's the entire chapter on ships. All ships sail on the water. Most people go on cruise ships. Most people would love to go on the Disney cruise ships, but not everyone can afford it.
Oh, poor Ryan.
That's the entire chapter.
He really wants to go, doesn't he?
I was like, really? Really? You sneaky little... Yeah. So now, of course, in my head, we're supposed to be going in November, and now I'm like, you know, trying to figure out how I can convert, like, you know, our planned week at Disney World to maybe like a short cruise. And, anyway, he's sneaky but effective. Yeah, very effective.
Yeah, I understand. I do. Yep, I do.
Anyway, well, speaking of Disney World and Disney Cruise Line, should we get to our news?
Yes. What are our news this week?
All right. So in articles this week, we have a great article by Aaron Sforza, who is a consultant with Mouse Ear Vacations and CruisingCo.com, and about sort of how her views on the Magic Kingdom have changed now that she has a baby. And, you know, she's a previous cast member and 6-year annual pass holder and, you know, knows Disney World like the back of her hand. But seeing it through the eyes of a 9-month-old changes things a bit. So great article about that. And then our other article is going to be by Cheryl Pendry, of course. Can't start out 2012 without Cheryl. And it's actually comparing the Wilderness Lodge with the resort that it's modeled after at, I believe it's Yellowstone. So...
Awesome.
Also very interesting. Good. And then if you were watching Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve, and you don't live in my area where they cut away for the local news broadcast at 11 o'clock, Disney made a big announcement that, again, I didn't get to see.
Well, I didn't get to see it either, so this is news to me. So well, I'm on the edge of my chair, tell me.
2012 is a leap year, and of course that means one extra day on February 29th, 2012. And Disney, of course, is hoping that you'll spend it at a Disney park. So one more Disney day is the name of the promotion. And Disneyland and the Magic Kingdom and Walt Disney World were both going to be open for 24 straight hours, beginning at 6 a.m. on the 29th and going until 6 a.m. on March 1st. Wow. So, and then they have a website. OneMoreDisneyDay.com, where you can enter to win. They're giving away 60 different vacation packages, so lots of chances to win. And then they're also doing a promotion where if you book a 3-night package between now and January 31st, 2012, for travel between, this is a narrow window, so pay attention, for travel between February 26th and March 10th, so just 2 weeks right there, right around leap year. If you purchase a package that includes 3 nights at a Disney resort and 3-day park passes, they will give you an additional night and an additional day on your park passes for free.
I see.
So it will magically become a 4-night, 4-day package. So.
Interesting.
Very cool. I was expecting a little more than that. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I did hear something about that. Right. It was in our newsletter. Of course I heard. Right. Yeah.
And they, it was a big deal, and they hyped it up, and they, you know, blah, 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 blah. And
Disney's really good at that.
Yes,
they are. Really good at that.
You know, that's exciting, and it actually happens that I'll be in Orlando on February 29th, although I'm at Universal, not at Walt Disney World.
Oh,
so.
Yes, for Harry Potter. Oh, well, yes. Yeah, other things, too, but yes.
Yeah, all of it, but let's be clear, I'm really going for Harry Potter. But, so, I don't know, we'll have to see, maybe I'll. See if I can get into the Magic Kingdom that day just to go on. But not at 6 a.m., that's for sure. Ooh, although, I suppose if you're going to go, like, what's the point, you know?
Right.
Like, if you're just going to go at noon, why go?
Right. Yeah, really.
So Disney Cruise Line, moving on. Disney Cruise Line has announced some of the port adventures for Port Canaveral. The Disney Magic this summer is actually going to be... sailing out of New York for the summer. And one of the stops will be Port Canaveral. Now, the cruise fare includes a one-day park hopper pass. Here's the most important thing that we now know. That one-day park hopper pass can only be used on the day the ship is docked at Port Canaveral.
Right, so not later on.
Yeah, you can't save it and add it to a trip later or anything. It's only good for that one day. And it will be linked to your Key to the World card from the ship.
I see.
So,
okay.
There's going to be transportation to and from the parks. Throughout the day, the last bus leaves the Magic Kingdom at 11 p.m. So,
okay.
Just and you can book all of that under the My Disney Cruise Adventures on the DisneyCruise.com website when you do your online check-in and all of that stuff. They're also going to be offering VIP tours and a Wild Africa trek, which, again, you and I have not had a chance to do yet.
I know. I'd say hoping I'd really like to.
Still bitter. But anyway. an Illuminations dessert party and other customizable tours. So, and if anybody is choosing not to visit Walt Disney World, why you would? You got the free ticket. Anyway, it's going to be excursions to Kennedy Space Center and the local places as well. And then last but not least, the Walt Disney World Marathon is this weekend, mm-hmm. January 5th through the 8th. And if you want to track runners or you want more information about what race is taking place on what day, you can get that all at rundisney.com. But just a note, historically speaking, Monday, the 9th, is actually known as Marathon Monday. It's typically very busy in the Magic Kingdom that day. So I recommend choosing a different park.
Good advice.
Yeah, that's just me. Passporter News is the weekly e-newsletter companion to the Passporter series of guidebook. Comes out every week on Thursday, and it has news and tips and articles and contests and all sorts of fun stuff. You can subscribe at www.passporter.com/news.
Awesome. Thank you. And now I'm happy to welcome back our special guest this week, AJ Wolf. AJ owns, writes, and edits the Disney Food Blog, as I'm sure most people who listen to our podcast know. Disney Food Blog covers food news, Disney food news, excuse me, and offers information and reviews on all things Disney food. AJ is also the author of the ebook, The DBF Guide to Disney World Dining. Welcome back, AJ.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Happy New Year.
It's Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's always so good to have you. So, we're talking about the changes to the Disney Dining Plan in 2012.
Yes.
I bet you know all yes. about it. You can tell us.
I do know all about
awesome.
It. There are lots of changes to the 2012 Dining Plan this year. As we know, every year they do make changes to the Dining Plan, and usually prices go up, and they have again. But there are a couple of positives that have happened as well. So, should we just dive into the differences?
Yes, let's just dive in.
Okay. All right. So the first things that we need to cover are kind of what you get in the Dining Plan and what you don't get. So here are the changes there. Up until this year, you haven't received a refillable mug if you were on the regular standard Disney Dining Plan. So this year they have added that. You do get a refillable mug on every single Dining Plan now, which is yay. And yeah, I know.
Soda addicts like me are all rejoicing.
That's right. It seems really strange that they didn't have that on the standard plan before, but there we go. Now, unfortunately, they have taken a couple of things away as well. The quick service Dining Plan now only has one snack credit per day per person instead of the former two snack credits. So you get less food on that one, but the price does stay the same this year for that one. So instead of raising the price, they're taking away a snack credit. Which is a bummer for the Food and Wine Festival visitors, but and the other thing that's been taken away here is the Wine and Dine Plan is no longer being offered. So if that was your favorite, you got to start paying for your wine again, because that's not on the docket anymore. Yeah. So other things that they've done is added a bunch of restaurants to the list of places you can dine with your Dining Plan. So at this point, pretty much every restaurant in Disney World is on the list except for the restaurants you'll find at the Swan and Dolphin restaurants or Swan and Dolphin Resorts.
That makes that really easy then.
That's a big change, right? I mean, a lot of the restaurants in downtown Disney have never been on before. And
yep, Bistro de Paris is on the list now as a two credit. Other places in the parks have been added as well. So like Diamond Horseshoe is on the list now, even though that place is only open seasonally. You can now go there with a Dining Plan when it is open. Mm-hmm. So there's just like, it's great. It makes it much, much easier as far as figuring out where you're going to eat. A lot of places in the water parks have been added as well as counter service spots. So yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
That's great. Simplifying things is good. Good. Any other changes this year?
Other than that, we just have some pretty significant price increases on a lot of them. And there also have been changes to like the premium and the platinum Dining Plans. There have been changes to what you get non-food wise. So things like your perks or your tours and things like that have changed around a little bit. So if you're a premium or platinum Dining Plan purchaser, make sure you double check those brochures so that you know what you're getting and what you're not getting, because they have taken some things away from the premium Dining Plan, I believe.
Hmm.
Yeah. So for those who might be listening and not entirely sure what the Disney Dining Plan is, since we tend to get new converts this time of the year, why don't we just do like a little overview too? So because some people might be scratching their heads like, what's this Dining Plan thing?
What's the Disney Dining Plan? The Disney Dining Plan was introduced, I believe, in 2005. as a way for people to prepay for their meals in Disney World. So what you can do is add it on to your Magic Your Way package, resort package. And it's basically kind of like when you, you know, back when you used to prepay for your cafeteria meals in college and things like that. That's kind of what it looks like. You get all that, all the little credits, like they call them Disney Dining Plan credits, go on your room key, and you literally use that to pay for your food as you go through the parks and the resorts for your trip. So the Disney Dining Plan has three different levels. You can. Or three different types of credits. You have snack credits. You have one. You have table service credits, and you have counter service credits. And depending on the plan that you get a different number of those credits to use throughout your stay.
Mm-hmm. And now, Sarah, I know that you'll know how to answer this question. Who is it that qualifies to even purchase the dining plan?
The dining plan is available to any Disney resort guest that it's so. For the most part, that's a resort that has the name Disney in it. So it's Disney's All-Star Sports.
Right, so we're
talking
Disney about
hotels. Wilderness Lodge. Right, yes. There are a lot of places that say that, like, you know, on located on Walt Disney World property, but that's a very vague, you know, advertising term, really. But it's anybody that is doing it that is also purchasing admission. So not just your resort, but also your park admission. The only exceptions to this are if you are a member of the Disney Vacation Club, which is Disney's timeshare program, or if you are an annual pass holder. Mm-hmm. Those are the two people that do have the ability to add the dining plan without also purchasing admission. One other one that is not all the time, but on occasion, Disney military families, and I believe this is true for almost all of 2012. If you are purchasing, if you are staying at a Walt Disney World property on a military rate, you do have the option to add the dining plan without purchasing admission because there is a special military ticket that is available to you. Mm-hmm, so.
Mm-hmm. Now, some people love the dining plan and they plan their trips around it, and some people don't care for it. And I'm curious, AJ and Sarah, what do you guys think of the dining plan?
Oh, I love it.
Why?
Because I like to, I like knowing that it's paid for ahead of time. It's just, for me, it makes it much easier to budget. It makes it easier to plan my meals. Because I'm such a foodie that I really probably, if left to my own devices, would go a little crazy. You probably shouldn't have your food budget cost more than your hotel.
Yeah, maybe not.
Wait, what? Really?
Unless you write a blog and.
Yeah, that's different then. You get an exception. Yeah.
I don't have that particular experience, actually. So, yeah. So I do like it. I don't use it for necessarily for every single trip, but for ones when I'm planning, you know, sit-down meals, then yes, I absolutely do.
AJ, what do you think?
I actually don't use the dining plan. And part of that is just because I tour differently than other people do. I'm pretty much always putting something into my mouth. It's rare that an hour goes by that I'm not eating. So so as a result, none of the dining plans really cover how much food I actually ingest when I'm at the park.
So, oh, that just sounds so bad. You know,
there's that that kind of infringes on the dining plan possibilities for me.
I have to warn you. When we do our episode 200, you know, review podcast, I'm quoting you.
You go right ahead.
Okay.
That clip going in the next review show. Yep.
Sorry. Oh, no.
Please continue. Sorry.
Oh, dear. Oh, heavens. Oh, okay. You girls do what you think you need to do on that one. But anyway, so in terms of a visitor who's maybe not required to eat everything in the parks and resorts, that you know, that is largely up to you. You're probably going to need to understand how much food you eat, because those dining plans have a lot of food included on them, and a lot. And I've heard from many folks say that they just can't eat that much, and or they don't want to because they'd rather be riding rides or taking advantage of other things in Disney World. So they don't want to have to. They don't want to feel required to eat that much food. Yet when they've paid for it, then they feel required to eat it. But other folks say this is a huge weight off my shoulders that I've already paid for it. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to count my dollar bills, you know, as I go through my vacation. And so it becomes like a real weight off your shoulders in terms of planning, that you don't have to worry about that stuff. Once you get to Disney World, you just have fun. You don't have to worry about budget anymore. So a lot of people really like that part of the dining plan. And for that reason, that pre-planning reason, I think it makes a lot of sense for some folks as well, especially if you have a big family or a lot of people going a lot of different places to eat at one time. You know, you got your teenagers who are going here. You've got, you know, mom and the daughter are going here, and grandma and grandpa are going over here. You all have your credits on your cards. You don't have to worry about money. And, you know, it takes care of a lot of worries that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good summary. You really have to look at it and see what works for you. And
yeah.
Do the math.
Yep.
You know, if you're thinking about saving, if you think it's going to save you money, sit down and figure it out. So, yeah, I don't actually do the dining plan very often. I'll test it out every once in a while so that I'm familiar with it. But otherwise, I don't eat enough food to cover it. So, and for me, it doesn't mm-hmm. work. So, yep. Well, cool. So let's move on to our community corner.
I just had one more question for AJ. So also coming in 2012 is a Fantasyland expansion, and there are going to be some new restaurants, right?
Yes! There are! Yes, and Disney World and Disneyland are both going to be exploding with new places to eat this year, which is uber exciting. But in Disney World specifically, you've got, over in Fantasyland, you've got Be Our Guest restaurant, and you have Gaston's Tavern coming mm-hmm. in, and they should be opening quite soon. And Sarah, you, I'm sure, will know when they're opening before I do.
I haven't heard any. I'll just put that out right there before I start getting emails.
It will be opening, I've heard, late 2012, but I'm hearing some little birdies, meaning my awesome readers, telling me that they're hearing like June as a potential option. I have no idea. I have no official idea. I have no unofficial idea. But Disney has said late 2012, and some Disney reservations agents are saying, stay tuned. You're going to be able to book this soon.
Cool.
So that's all I know about that. But also coming into the parks will be, or not the parks, but over at Art of Animation Resort, we're going to have Landscapes Cafe opening up in summer of 2012. And they're going to have some cool, interesting and unique food items there as well. I feel like there's one I'm forgetting. Ooh, Splitsville is opening up.
Oh, yes.
On Disney this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be some food.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's going to, I don't know what kind of food, but I'm guessing, you know, bowling food.
Bowling food, yeah.
So those are the ones, I feel like I'm missing one, but I can't remember.
Well, that's fun. I love new restaurants.
I do too, me too.
All right, now let's move on to our community corner. We have a listener celebrating this week. Member Carrie B93 says, my family of four and my parents are meeting my sister at Walt Disney World to celebrate the end of her latest contract as a crew member on the Disney Magic. In addition to a great family trip to our favorite place, we may get some crew member discounts.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. That's cool. And this week's podcast listener contest winner is 4498 Shelley. So if you are listening, Shelley, send an email to podcast@passporter.com to claim your gift certificate. And it looks like we have several questions, a couple of them about food. The first is from Music Teacher Mom, who writes, I can't decide whether to book Hollywood and Vine for the Fantasmic package or just go with 50s Primetime Cafe. On April 17th, which is a busy time, what would the regular line for Fantasmic look like? We have only done the package, and has anyone gone in the regular line? Is it important to book the package? Is the line that horrendous? If we decide to book Hollywood and Vine, then we would be sure to come back another night to eat at 50s Primetime Cafe because we heard so many fun and great reviews. What do you guys think?
I'm not a fan of the package.
I know. I'm not either. AJ, what do you think?
I haven't done the package or Fantasmic for a long time. So, I can't really speak to this one. I wouldn't normally do the package.
Yeah. I we've said it before, I think, on here. And the package is, you know, it can be helpful because it does, you know, guarantee you a spot in the reserve seating, but the reserve seating is not the best seating.
Right,
it's just
right.
the reserved seating.
Right.
And you still have to get in line a good half hour in advance. Personally, I would rather get in line, you know, an hour in advance instead of a half hour in advance and just get better seats. But
yeah,
that's just me.
Yeah.
And eat wherever the heck I wanted to eat.
Yeah, exactly. And if I had, if I personally was choosing between Hollywood and Vine and 50s Primetime Cafe, I'd totally go for 50s Primetime Cafe every time because it's just darn cool. It's like so Disney. It is. And I love the food. It's like great comfort food.
I love the food too.
Yeah, so.
I like watching my husband get embarrassed by the waitress, but that's just me.
See, I think that the package, you know, if you want to cover all your bases and be absolutely sure you're going to get a seat for Fantasmic, go ahead and do it. But for the most part, I'd go to 50s Primetime and then get in line.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah. All right. Next question is from Disney Without Kids, who writes, "We are two adults that will be traveling in early February and have eaten at almost all of the Walt Disney World table service restaurants at one time or another. We are going on their premium dining plan this trip, so we will want to use the most of our dining credits as table service, most likely signature table service. We are trying to make this a very laid-back vacation as far as the schedule goes, and the only thing we are making plans and reservations for is our golf and fishing. We are wondering if we really need to make advanced dining reservations in order to eat at most of the table service restaurants. At this point, I am thinking we will commit to a reservation at Rose and Crown for Valentine's Day evening to get a front row seat for Illuminations, but no others. What is your opinion about not making any other reservations for the trip?"
You know, you.
I know what your response will be.
You hear me? I'm having a seizure over here.
I know. Sarah's like, "Oh my gosh, no reservations."
Well, and I'm already thinking, like, you want to eat at Rose and Crown on Valentine's Day, and it's January. It's not going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen.
I can already tell you that's not happening.
So. Yeah. No. Sorry. Go ahead, AJ.
You're not guaranteed that front row seating for Illuminations,
exactly.
Anyhow, even if it's the slowest day of the year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's a lucky, you get lucky or you don't get it, you know, so yeah.
Yeah. Especially to me, like if you're saying you want to eat at the signature table service restaurants, mm-hmm. I would think making, I'm not saying you need an advanced dining reservation for every single night of your trip, but if there are particular restaurants, particularly signature restaurants that you know you want to dine at, make the reservation because they can be hard to come by, especially that week.
Yeah.
It's Valentine's Day.
Yeah. And if you want a laid-back vacation but then don't have a place that you guys really want to eat, it's going to get stressful, not so laid-back. I don't tend to make a lot of reservations for different reasons, though, but I would probably make some reservations and then keep some of my time open, and I think that would be a good mix.
Yeah.
But I think that for this, I mean... I just think that, yeah, you're going really, you're talking about Valentine's Day, so you're really talking about mid-February, and crowds are starting to pick up. There are some spring breaks that start at that time, so it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be a dead, the parks aren't going to be dead. There are going to be people in those restaurants, so.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And I think also, but on the other side of the coin, you do have your new cancellation policies for signature restaurants, so... You will need to give a credit card guarantee for those reservations, and you will need to cancel them 24 hours in advance in order to not be charged a fee. So keep that in mind as you make reservations. But I would say for places like California Grill, you know, Yachtsman Steakhouse, Le Cellier, although that's not possible at this point, but, you know, those are going to take, you're going to need reservations for those, absolutely.
Right.
You might be able to get into, say, Artist Point without a reservation, but, you know, I've been having a hard time getting into those signature restaurants at the last minute, even when I go during slow seasons. So people are starting to recognize they exist and they're starting to use them, especially with the dining plans. So
right. Yes.
I would say definitely make reservations, but remember that new cancellation policy. Remember that you do have money on the line if you just decide not to go.
Yeah. And you would hate to pay for the premium plan just to get down there and not to be able to eat anywhere you wanted to eat.
Exactly. That would be
a good point.
Terrible waste. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Again, it stresses me out just thinking about it, but not everybody's me.
And the thing is if you make your reservations now, really, you can, the rest of your time can be pretty laid back. But where you're eating can be, you know, I think That seems pretty good to me. All right, last question is from Wendy is my name. And she says, we are participating in a fish extender exchange. I should explain what that is. For those who don't know what a fish extender exchange is, on the Disney cruise ships, there's on the outside of the doors, there's like a fish that's put there to like hold notes and stuff. And what some cruises like to do is hang something from it. Like often it's sort of a little thing with pockets. And groups of cruisers, you know, usually people who met online, they will get little things and they will put them in other people's fish extenders. It's kind of a funny name, but it's extending to fish. So you're sort of giving anonymous, usually not always, gifts to each other, and they give you stuff too. So sort of, you know,
it's kind of like a little secret Santa for the
cruise ship. Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so we are participating in a fish extender exchange. The itinerary is the 7-night Western Caribbean. What would be some good things, in your opinion, to hand out? I plan on having categories. Adults, teens, tweens, kids, and even infants. I also plan to have gender-specific gifts for each category.
She's very organized.
Very. Some of the things I received on my October cruise were tote bags, CDs, ducks, bracelets, candy, etc. Thanks for your help. You have any ideas, Sarah?
Well, Wendy, I should mention, is a friend of mine. So she actually emailed me this question directly and then said she wanted to answer on the podcast as well. So I said I could do that. But what I told her and what I'll tell everybody is my favorite things when I have participated in the fish extender exchanges, I've only done it, I think, on one or two of my cruises, but my favorite things to get are always something that somebody brought from home. So some type of local delicacy or local thing, or even a postcard, or usually it's a candy or something edible or something, you know, that is unique to wherever they came from.
Right.
So, you know, if you're from Maine, it's gummy lobsters. If you're from San Francisco, it's probably See's candy. If you're from, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I just think it's a neat way to learn about the other cruisers. And of course, I like anything edible, candy.
So. Yes, edible is good, definitely. when I have done it, it's always passport or stuff, so I am not qualified to answer this question.
I want to be in Jennifer's fish extender program.
For stuff, not
pets. That's funny. Okay, cool. All right, then. So that's all of our questions. If anyone out there would like to hear your question on our podcast, send an email to podcast@passporter.com, and we would be happy to answer it. And let's see. We need a discount code. My goodness, people are busy. You would not believe how many orders I've been people, okay, so if you want to get a Passporter and you want a 25% discount, use this code. And this week's code will be, let's see, how about?
Year.
Okay, good, year. Thank you. So year, and it's always lowercase, and it's YEAR, and you type it during checkout at PassporterStore.com to get the 25% off discount. Cool.
Go get your Passporter.
It's going to get your Passporter.
Go buy it. 2012 is in pre-order.
That's right. It'll be here soon. And that's our show, folks. Thank you for listening. What are we doing next week, Sarah? Do we have a plan? Just you and me?
I think it's just you and I, so I think maybe it'll be the first top whatever list of 2012.
Awesome. AJ, thank you for coming on our podcast again. It's great to have you again.
Thank you, too. I love coming on this. And I can't tell you how many people come up to me when I'm in the parks and they say, oh, we heard you on the Passporter podcast. It is so exciting. I love it. I'm just like, that's awesome.
Cool.
Well, I don't know if you listened to our 100th episode, AJ, but we had to list what our favorite episodes are. And you were on my favorites list. I love whenever you guys are on, and I love talking about Disney food with you. So,
yes.
Well, thank you so much. I love talking about it too.
Cool. Well, you can listen to more podcasts at passporter.com/podcast. Talk to you next week.